Hello and welcome to the Sports Vibe podcast with me, Ryan Frussell. I'm going to be joined today by Lee Partridge, Noah Abrahams and Elliot Murray. Well, Watford continue their battle in the Championship. Two more matches, both ending 1-1. Were they positive results for Watford or were they lucky to cling on and not lose? I'll discuss this with the guys, and also FA Cup first round action is upon us. Local sides have progressed through. How are they going to get on? What is the draw as well? We'll discuss all that and of course so much more on the Sports Vibe podcast. And welcome back to the Sports Vibe podcast with me, Ryan Frussell. I'm hosting today and I'm pleased to say, obviously, I'm not going to be on my own. Let's first welcome Lee Partridge back. Lee, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thanks, Ryan. How are you?
Yeah, it'd be good. I don't think it would sound as good with just me on my own, would it?
Probably not, as it
happens. I'm just sat in a room talking to myself. Noah Abrahams, you're back as usual up in Derby. How are you doing, Noah?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. It would be cool if it was just you, Ryan. I'd still listen.
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, I wouldn't have much conversation. I'd just be talking to myself. And I'm pleased to welcome Elliot Murray to the Sports Vibe podcast. Elliot's one of our sports reporters here at Vibe 107.6. He's been writing some great stuff on the website for Watford FC and has been interviewing Vladimirovic and, of course, Ben Wilmot over the last couple of weeks. Elliot, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. It'd be great to get your insight on the podcast, and I'm sure the listeners will enjoy that as well. Well, we're back talking about Watford FC. Games coming so fast at the moment. It's, what, been about three in a week. I'm pleased to say that Watford didn't lose since we last recorded, but they did draw both games 1-1, so a bit of consistency there for Watford. But arguably, probably should they have won? That's what we'll discuss. At the time of the recording, Watford on the weekend drew 1-1 against Bournemouth, conceded a very late goal at the end. And last night, a 1-1 draw away at Wickham at Adams Park. Lee, I'll come to you first. You were at Bournemouth match at home again, and then you must have watched the match last night. Are you disappointed or are you happy that we've managed to survive these matches without losing?
Of course, pleased that we've picked up points. We've not lost. Yeah, disappointed to be ahead in both games and to just walk off with 2 points. I think everyone will be disappointed. The Bournemouth game, you know, possession. I think we only had about 38% possession, but created a lot of really good chances. Not clinical enough. I think everyone would say that. We can talk about the referee. We can talk about some of the decisions. Yes, of course. I'm not one to bang on a referee's drum or. But, yeah, I think certain decisions, had they been viewed by VAR, but, you know, what's the point in talking about that? Because you never know what VAR is going to come up with. But, yeah, some important big game-changing decisions that weren't made, if you see what I mean. But, you know, we can't put it down to that. We did create some great chances, but just not clinical enough, the Bournemouth game. Wickham, a bit of a flip side with possession, 67% possession. You know, Wickham huffed and puffed. Of course, they haven't got the quality in their side that we have. And in the end, probably, out of the two games, the point against Wickham turned out to be better than the point against Bournemouth, the way the game kind of finished. Seeing Akinfenwa playing, he played most of the game, didn't he? And, you know, it still miffs me slightly how he can play most of the game against us and we can't get a centre forward to be doing a similar amount of time against them. But I suppose it's the way they've set up.
Yeah, good to escape that match yesterday with a point. Arguably, yeah, of course, the referee got in the way against Bournemouth. But as you say, we moaned about VAR last season. We don't have it this season. It is very different. Noah, first to you, how would you summarise the last two matches for Watford?
I'd agree with Lee. I think going ahead in both games is really disappointing to then throw away 3 points and come out altogether with two. to concede so late against Bournemouth, that's always going to be hard. I'm really happy for Step Perico, who made his debut in the league, scored on it as well. I hope he's back fit soon. Lloyd Kelly shouldn't have been on the pitch, but like Lee says, I'm not going to go at the referee because all referees make mistakes. I think the thing that disappointed me most about the Bournemouth game was obviously the goal, how Watford could just turn off that late in the game when they've held that lead for so long. I don't know what Chalobah was doing. I don't know what Cathcart was doing. My views on the Bournemouth game really are that a very positive performance, but it's a shame the outcome didn't go our way. With Wickham, worst performance of the season for me. I know it was a draw. Wickham deserved that win. I don't think Watford even deserved the point, to be honest. Wasn't very impressed. The final pass, the finishing touch, just wasn't there. Let Watford down.
And Elliot, over to you. Do you sort of share Noah's opinion? You analyse a lot of the Watford matches. You tweet regularly as the games are on. Do you think it was Watford's worst performance of the season? And how do you think they're going to build forward now heading into the weekend?
Yeah, completely. I agree. Probably the worst performance outside of maybe the Carabao Cup game against... Well, actually, both games are pretty poor. Yeah, against Wickham, I think we were definitely second best and we probably should have come up with a loss. But inversely, against Bournemouth, we probably should have had the win. Again, refereeing decisions, but you can't really dwell on those. And yeah, ultimately, I think we should have come out with that, with the 3 points and maybe 3 points overall, because the Wickham game was just a horrible, horrible game to watch. And I'm surprised we even got the point in the end.
Yeah, I was getting quite frustrated watching it last night. Was we a bit complacent when we came into this match? Lee, what do you think went wrong against Wickham?
I think Wickham are up for every single game. That's one thing. They're going to be up for every single game. Every game's like a cup final to them. Gareth Ainsworth has done a fantastic job with them over the last few years. I mean, he's so rock and roll. He's on the sidelines of the leather jacket. I'm just waiting to pull the guitar out from behind the dugout. But you're going to get games like that over the season. You know, does it have an impact? The fact that it's an evening game, sometimes that does. It does impact the game itself. Is their style of football made it more difficult for us to play football? If that's the case, then we've got to learn to adapt to that. And do we set up slightly different against slightly different teams? Maybe that's something else that we need to look at, because all teams, or a lot of teams, play different ways, and maybe sometimes a style of football is not suited. It's suited to one team, but not another. So you've got to learn to adapt. You know, disappointing, but in the end, quite happy to get a point against Wickham. Like I said, they huffed and they puffed, and they created some fairly decent chances.
Let's be honest, Hakim Fenmar, of course, the back three, a real problem. Trostekong obviously has been a revelation since coming into the side. Looks a real decent player. But, I mean, Noah, do you think that there was a bit of a Premier League hangover going into that match? A bit of complacency kicking in, maybe, thinking, well, you know, it's Wickham, we should get through 3 points. And then, actually, yeah, when it came to the match, I think it caused a bit of an issue, didn't it?
It's like Aketjiania said on Hive Live Extra. I don't think the attitudes were right. They were complacent. They thought, this is just Wickham, bottom of the league, haven't got any points yet. A Watford fan messaged me saying, easily our worst performance of the season. Credit to Wickham, of course, but in a nice way, they didn't really look good as much as we looked dreadful. They deserved all 3 points because we forgot how to defend, something which this season we've been brilliant at. And to be fair, our defence was on point to make sure they didn't take all 3 points. Whilst we have set up well, this game looked like we really didn't know our opponents at all. So that was Josh Collins, a Watford fan, messaging me. I think you've got to agree with him. The defence, you can't always rely on Foster. And it's brilliant that Foster's going to get player of the season, I'm sure, once again. But like Foster said after the game, the youngsters in that team need to grow up fast, because Ekong was probably the busiest outfield player on the pitch. And that's not really how it should be against a side like Wickham.
And Elliot, watching the Wickham match, I don't know if you share the same opinion, but it sort of felt like our first match of the season where a few of the players looked a bit disinterested. I don't know whether it's because there's been a lot of games recently or whether it was just the way it looked on TV and they were actually trying hard. But it sort of felt like something wasn't quite right in that match.
Yeah, it did. I was quite surprised, really, because Ivic said before the game that he'd watched a lot of Wickham games and he knew what to expect from them. And it felt like he was going to really motivate his players, and it wouldn't be a typical Watford performance where we just suddenly lose out of nowhere. Yeah, I'm really shocked at how switched off they looked, particularly at the back. And Wickham looked like the team that were in the top three, and Watford looked like the team that were in the relegation places.
Another tough match awaits us on Saturday. Well, two tough games, two physical games that are coming up. One away at Barnsley, and obviously following that, Stoke at home, which obviously Stoke's not going to be an easy side. It'd be difficult to beat, although they did lose last night as well. Lee, if you could sort of pick a weak area of the squad or something you'd like to see change heading into these matches, is there anything you'd change?
I think we've got a strong squad, first of all. Do I think we've got a weak squad? No, not in the slightest. Not for that. Not for the Championship. No, we look strong all over the park. We're talking about defence there and last night. But apart from Reading, we've conceded the fewest goals in the division. So, you know, we've got to bear that in mind. Haven't scored as many as the chances we've created. What would I like to see? I mean, across that midfield, you know, we're so solid and we've still got players to come back. I would like to see, this is just my personal opinion, I would like to see, say, Glenn Murray start. Rather than bringing him on for 15, 20 minutes as an impact player. I know he has done that in the past, last couple of seasons in the Premier League, but I think he's got more about him, especially in this division, and can offer a lot more, especially with the likes of Pedro or Saar or Kiko or Semmer that can ping some beautiful balls in. I'm not saying go one-dimensional again and keep playing the football. When we get into them important areas, get it past that first man, which we seem to keep finding, and get it into that area, you know, into that penalty spot area. And if we do, say, start with Glenn Murray or one of the others, you know, Troy or Andre, when they're back, when they're fit, when they're ready to go, and let's possibly give that a go, because I think we can create so many chances in that hole. We can score a lot of goals, and the defence will over the season will show that it's one of the best defences in that division. And we've got, you know, we're talking about last night's game and, you know, disappointing result, of course. I think everybody would say that or performance, but we've still got a point. We didn't lose, but we're still third in the division. Good performance against Bournemouth, and Blackburn prior to that. I think we're sitting all right. We're sitting third at the minute. And this stage of the season, it's really important to stay, you know, in touch with either automatic or definitely within the playoffs, because it's too easy. Once you've dropped out of that playing catch-up, look at Brentford the last few years, you know, they're sitting 11th in division playing catch-up straight away. So, I think we're doing all right.
Yeah, we are in a good position, and I saw last night a few Watford. Well, you can't bear anything on social media, but Watford fans questioning Ivic and whether his tactics were right. But we're third in the division. That's what I was saying. You know, when we were under Jokanovic, we obviously had to play catch up and changed our manager twice. That's the season we went up, of course, a few years ago. Noah, do you think the attacking area is Watford's biggest problem at the moment? How do you think Ivic gets the best out of his attackers?
Look, Hughes isn't an attacker, but Andre Gray's on the way back with Hughes. I thought it was Mayla Saar played well. He's off the mark at least. And I remember when WD18's Jacob Cultural came on the podcast, he said that Saar was more important to hold on to than Troy Deeney, and I agree with that. Saar got the assist against Bournemouth. He got the goal last night. So I'm thrilled that he's playing well. And with Glenn Murray, he had a good chance at the end. Attacking-wise, I think Ivic likes to play one up front. I agree with Lee. It would be nice to see Glenn Murray starting. That miss from Murray at the end was a bit frustrating. It kind of summed up the whole performance. But I think with Andre Gray coming back as well, attacking-wise, Watford are quite strong. I think we've got to trust in Ivic way too early for doubts about Vladimir Ivic. That's social media for you. That's what you're going to see on it. But to doubt Ivic at this point of the season, for me, is just crazy.
And Elliot, over to you. How do you think Ivic is going to get the best out of his strikers once everyone's back fit?
It's a very difficult but quite good dilemma for Ivic, because he's got so much talent going forward, but none of them really fit together. At the moment, we've got Saar and João Pedro playing up top. Saar isn't really naturally a central player, so perhaps you'd want him to play out wide, but then who do you sacrifice elsewhere? So it's a difficult one for Ivic to mull over. I think it'll be something that he'll assess when the injured players come back, when Gray and Hughes are back in the squad, when Perica is fully fit. I think it would just be a lot easier then, but it's difficult to play his chosen 4-3-3 without a natural left back. So I think maybe it is worth giving Murray a go, seeing if an out-and-out striker can solve our goal-scoring problem. Not that there even really is a problem at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit confused last night watching the match when they kept talking about Watford's slow starts. And I thought, well, hang on a minute here. We scored in the first half against Luton. We scored two goals at home against Blackburn. I don't know if there is a slow start problem. Obviously, we struggled to score yesterday, but, you know, Wickham were up for it. I agree. I think that yesterday, watching the match, my own view is that we were struggling. Obviously, Keener is a good, technically gifted player. He's got a future, I think. Was that the right game for him to play in? Maybe not. He's the type of player who needs time on the ball, and I think Wickham were on him all the time. But I think we did miss Will Hughes yesterday, and knowing that he's coming back into the team could solve our problems a little bit, because I felt like we just missed that aggressive attacking midfielder, really, Lee. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, we've got some great, you would say, holding midfielders, wouldn't you? Kapoor, Chalabar, cleverly. With Decore going, he did tend to get forward quite well, didn't he? Late runs into the box. I think that's what Will Hughes will bring to the table if he's played in that central role, or maybe even that little number 10 role, where he was at Derby. And then when he did first come to Watford, come to us, he was playing kind of wide on the right, and I've just felt that's never his position. He's a clever little player, great little touches, moves into some great space with some great passing abilities within his game. So can unlock teams. So, yeah, he would be my choice of playing further forward, if possible. And we've got to go into some games and look to be, fairly offensive. Not all the games, but, how we set up, depending, again, how we set up. We set up quite defensively through the central part of midfield and look to get the ball quite quick and quite wide, which is where quite a few of our goals have come from, and good goals, against Blackburn. Goal against Bournemouth, etc. But yeah, that's kind of where I would see Will Hughes when he's back. I think it's really important to get a player like him that is quite attack minded back into the starting lineup.
We move on to play Barnsley on Saturday. Let's do some score predictions, shall we? Obviously, games are coming thick and fast. Elliot, let's start with you today. How do you see it going up in Yorkshire on Saturday?
It's a very tough one because Barnsley before Gerard Struve left were finding it very difficult to score, but we saw last night they beat QPR 3-0, and it was a really, really strong performance. So I think it could be a close one. I think we'll edge it 1-0, I'll say.
Yeah, 1-0. It seems to be a bit of a favourite result this season with Watford's manager and, of course, the fans, and everyone thinking we'll win 3-0. 1-0, sorry. Noah, well, how do you think it's going to go?
I think let's try and score more than one goal. 2-1 Watford. Barnsley, quite a similar outfit to Wickham. So I think in that regard, they would have learned their lesson, Watford. They're going to go into this game, I think, probably with a better attitude. They're going to know exactly what the Championship's like now. I mean, they've had, seven games in it? They're third in the league. Confidence is still high. I'm going to go with 2-1 Watford.
Yeah, positivity coming from you there, Noah. And Lee, over to you. What do you think is going to happen on Saturday?
You know, I'm going goals, 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 as always. You know me. ever the optimist, Partridge. I'm going Watford 3-1. I think we've created, when we've needed to, when we've stepped our game up against, like I say, Bournemouth, Blackburn, we've created some really good chances. Against Bournemouth, arguably, Bergovic in goal was the best player on the park. Which is a good sign for us. And if we're more clinical, I think we will score goals. So I'm going Watford 3-1.
I think Watford are going to kick into gear as well up in Barnsley. I could just feel it. I don't know, last night, it was a bit of a shame. And I agree with what you said, Noah. I think they're going to know the Championship now and think, well, that was a tough match away. Let's not let that happen again. And I think Ivic might drill into them, and maybe stick a bit of a rocket up them as well. And hopefully that will help. I think Watford are going to win this one quite comfortably. I'm going to put it out there and say I think Watford will win maybe 3-1. Is that what you said, Lee? Am I not allowed to choose?
Yeah, you can go along with that.
All right, I'll go 5-1.
If it's 0-0.
Yeah, I'll go 5-1 then. How's everyone thinking about that?
Love it.
Yeah, if we win 5-1, that would be...
Yeah. There we go.
I'll go 6-1.
I'm convinced it's going to be 5-1.
7-1.
So that's the score that I'm going for on Saturday. We also play Stoke next week. Let's not predict that one because we don't know the result of the Barnsley match, but obviously we will record over after both matches next week. So that's Watford. Let's move on from Watford. As we always do, we like to move on to the National League and National League South, our local sides in the non-league area. Last week we spoke about the success story, really, in the National League, which is Wealdstone. Just unbelievable that they're obviously up in the National League. Won two games on the trot. We mentioned that they like scoring, but also don't like defending either. Last night, they played again against Kingsley Town, who also, of course, came up with them into the National League, and they won 3-2, so similar results pattern followed. Noah, I believe you were in touch with their press officer after last night's game. It's incredible, isn't it? They're up to sixth now in the National League.
Unbelievable. Sixth after, I think, 33 years out of the National League. Wealdstone beat Kings Lynn, as you say. 3-2. Sorry, Danny Parrish hat-trick sealed the deal and confirmed an impressive 3 points. I spoke to Decker Riley, a good friend of mine, the press officer at Wealdstone FC, after the game. He said it was a great win for Wealdstone and their first win on the road all season. All the players impressed, but it was Danny Parrish who made the most impact on his first start in the National League, scoring an incredible hat-trick. Parrish said after the game that he was delighted with his 3 goals, but he needs to push on and keep his place in the squad. Dean Brennan complimented the quality of the performance and the character of the players to bounce back from Saturday's shock FA Cup exit. So that was Deco Riley, the press officer, clearly a very happy bunny, as are all Wealdstone fans, I would imagine. What a start.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Lee, do you think we'll see Wealdstone in the National League, in the League Two next season?
Well, why not? I mean, come on, the Stones. They've scored more goals than anybody else in that division, but only Kings Lynn have conceded more. I mean, how about that? If you want to see goals, Wealdstone's the team. So, yeah, they've just got to keep going with it, full of confidence. You, like we said before, you've got to look at the teams that are in there. You know, your Wrexhams, your Boreham Woods that have done well over the last couple of years, Barnet, you know, Aldershot's been in the league within the last 10 years. You've also got Notts County that are below, Woking below, all these clubs sitting below Wealdstone. So, yeah, why not? Why can't they?
Yeah, Elliot, are you a keen follower of non-league football? How do you look at the National League and in particular Wealdstone's start this year?
I'll admit, up until this season, I hadn't really looked at much in the National League and below, but I've started to take note of Wealdstone, and I think it's a fantastic success story. And like you say, Danny Parrish hat-trick on his first start is a great way to sort of enter a new club and make a name for yourself. And I think, although it is tight at the top at the moment, I don't see why they can't be in League Two next season.
So it's also important to mention Boreham Wood got a good win against Woking. They're having a bit of a difficult start, but then up to winning ways. And obviously Boreham Wood, we know that they're going to chase down the playoffs again if they can. Obviously after two attempts and not being able to get it out of the National League into the Football League. But, you know, it's going to be a competitive season once again in that division. No, we were just chatting before we came on, actually. Let's move down to National League South. We'll cover the FA Cup very shortly, but Hemel were struggling, aren't they?
Yeah, they've won once in their last 9 games. I think it's their last 9. Not the start Lee Bertram would have wanted. They lost to Hampton Richmond Borough 1-0 on the weekend. I think they got knocked out of the FA Cup in the fourth round qualifying as well. So it's not a great start for Hemel. They've just had their 3G pitch laid. So I think the owners, the chairman, would have hoped the football would have complemented that kind of new aspect to that ground. Let's see what happens for the rest of the season. I don't think they're going to go down. I don't think they're going to get promoted either.
Yeah, not great positive news coming out of the National League South, because unfortunately St Albans were also dumped out the cup on Monday night on the TV cameras on BT Sport Football. I mean, what an experience it must have been for the fans, but not so with the result, really, was it, Lee?
No, well, I think it was just the home fans. Bishop Stortford, 600 packed in there, I noticed. It was just the start that done it for St Albans, really. Yeah, the keeper, within a couple of minutes, you know, just dwelled on the ball. The ball was knocked back to him. Of course, the forward, the Bishop Stortford forward, was firing all cylinders within 2 minutes. Keen as mustard. Keeper took a touch, weren't great touch, and got closed down. So when you're 1-0 down within 2.5 minutes. And to be fair to Bishop Stortford, division below St Albans, but had gone into that game unbeaten this season. I think unbeaten in 9. So they're a decent outfit, well-drilled, well-organised. And then conceded on about 15 minutes, I think, St Albans, the second goal. It was a diagonal from the right side over the top. And the forward got onto it, great touch and a good little finish, to be fair to him. So St Albans were always up against it then. The first 20 minutes, they looked really, although it was 2-0 down, I really fancied them to get back in it. But then as the game went on, Bishop Stortford settled in a bit and their back four played really well. But St Albans, you know, they're seventh in the division at the moment. So they've got a game in hand, I think. So they're sitting pretty good there. And also just saying about Hemel, as you mentioned, Lee Birchall, I know Lee, and he'd do a good job there. He just needs a bit more time to settle in. And it's tight down the bottom at the minute. So one win takes you from where they are, second from bottom. One win can take you up to sort of 12th, 13th place. So it is really tight at the minute there.
Yeah, it's so early on. I mean, you can't really tell anything off how the season's going to end. But you obviously get a good sense maybe after about 15 games. So we'll see then. Let's hope they can pull themselves out of that. But the FA Cup first round proper, the ties have been drawn on Monday after that match on BT Sport. It's one of my favourite weekends of football, the first round of the FA Cup, so I like just looking just to see the non-league sides, and obviously we'll hope for giant killings. I'll just run through the local sides' ties. I mean, Boreham Wood and Barnet, I know we've spoken about not having fans inside grounds, but I mean, the two matches that they've got, Boreham Wood will play Southend. That's a big match for them, and Barnet have got Burton Albion, of course, who were in the Championship two seasons ago at home, and Stevenage, they have a tie against Concord Rangers. Trivia, anyone know where Concord Rangers are?
No.
Not a clue.
Let's leave everyone dwelling on that, shall we? but Stevenage playing Concord Rangers. Elliot, do you enjoy the FA Cup, the first round? Do you share my opinion? You like seeing the non-league sides have giant killing opportunities?
Yeah, I've always loved the FA Cup. And seeing Woking a few seasons ago when they played Watford, that was a really fun tie. It's probably people's pick of the early rounds for Watford's FA Cup run a couple of years ago. I love the first round. I love seeing which teams can go through from even the lower non-league sides. And it's a shame St Albans won't be there, but I think Bishop Stortford could have a decent run if they keep up their unbeaten streak.
Yeah, and just let everyone know, Concord Rangers are based in Canvey Island. If you're all...
Yeah, they're near Southend.
Yeah.
You were joking then. I was waiting for you to say Heathrow Airport. down near Southend.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of trivia there. I wanted to just give the listeners a few minutes to try and think about it before I announce where they were. But yeah, let's hope Concord Rangers can fly in this season's FA Cup.
Oh, see what you did there. Oh, my goodness. Are you there here a week?
I'm here a week, yeah, with my fantastic jokes. Lee, I know you love the FA Cup, don't you?
God, yeah. As a kid, you know, that's what it was all about, wasn't it? The FA Cup, oldest domestic cup in the world. And I know I'm keep banging on about getting fans back in. And disappointing that no fans are going to be allowed at the first round, which is such a shame. It's the stuff where dreams are made, isn't it? These players that are playing, especially down in the lower non-leagues, and some of them have got great stories historically and moments. You know, that's what it's all about. It was only 3 years ago, Lincoln, where they was in the National League and got to the quarterfinals. I mean, that's just incredible, isn't it? Stuff like that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
but it does.
It's a great,
what I mean.
Great story, and I'll share your view. I mean, I was looking through the ties and watching the draw, and I mean, the fans of Marine, who are in the eighth tier of English football, they got an amazing tie away at Colchester United.
Colchester.
The brand new ground there, obviously a couple of years old now, down in Colchester. What a tie that would have been. Noah, are you looking forward to the FA Cup first round? Do you share the same view? It's obviously disappointing for the fans not to be able to attend these matches.
Exactly the same as Leo. As someone who looks out for Barnet as well, I remember Barnet's FA Cup run two seasons ago. They got to the third round against Sheffield United and then Brentford. And I know Lee also is a good mate of Darren Curry's, and he was the manager for that Barnet Cup run. So let's hope Peter Beadle can keep on going with Barnet and achieve equal success. I love the cup, but let's also hope that we're there for Boreham Wood versus Southend United on the 7th of November. It would be a great fixture to cover for Vibe.
Yeah, those matches are going to be played across the weekend of the 7th, 8th and 9th of November. So let's hope that a few of our local sides could have a brilliant run in the FA Cup. I'm predicting that they will. It's bringing us to the end of this week's Sports Vibe podcast. Let's hope Watford obviously can can get back to winning ways away up in Barnsley on Saturday. And then, of course, as I mentioned, they're back at home to Stoke City next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Match is coming so quickly this season. Obviously, it's just to catch up the season. And obviously, the players are under real pressure. But I'm sure they're putting the performances in to get Watford back to the Premier League. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Thank you very much for joining us. Before you all talk over each other, thank you very much to you, Lee.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me. And thank you very much for anybody that listens to our waffle.
Yeah. And you, Noah, you getting to any football this weekend?
This weekend it's Michelover Sports, I believe. If you know where Michelover Sports is, you get brownie points for that.
Are they near Derby?
They are bang in the middle of Derbyshire.
Yeah. See, exactly. I know Derbyshire like the back of my hand, Noah. Elliot, thank you very much for joining us for the first time. I hope you enjoyed having a good old waffle with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun, yeah.
No problem at all. Well, we'll be back, obviously, to review and to natter more about the matches next week. But for now, thank you very much for listening to the Sports Vibe podcast.